Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Sturgis, Mississippi, and earned a BS degree from Ferris State University and a master's degree from Central Michigan University. She joined General Motors in 1978 and has worked many various leadership roles. Since 2010, she's been the president of the General Motors Foundation and also the director of corporate relations for GM. Her name, Vivian Picard, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Vivian Picard, the president of the General Motors Foundation. Vivian, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack, and it's an honor for me to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, I grew up in Sturgis, Mississippi. It's a small town that many of you will probably not find on the map with any kind of internet search, but it's a small town very close to Mississippi State University. And it's a town where one side of the town was basically Rogersville. It was all of the Rogers family, cousins, etc. And we were a very, very close-knit family in Sturgis, Mississippi. My family, my grandfather owned a business there, and he bought most of the land on one side of Sturgis, Mississippi, and therefore all of my family, aunts, uncles, cousins, we all lived on what was then Rogers Road in Sturgis, Mississippi.
You were the sixth of 10 children. What's the biggest thing you learned from your mom, Vivian, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, my mom and my dad had all kind of very, at that time when we were growing up, we looked at them as very weird comments. But now as we've grown older, we've figured them out. Like my dad would always say, credit is better than cash. And now I truly understand what he meant by that. But my mother and my father were remarkable individuals at a time when it was not always in vogue to do some of the things that they did in Sturgis, Mississippi. Again, my father took over my grandfather's business and had his own business. And really, in the environment of a small town in Sturgis, Mississippi, he did business. The businessmen that he did business with were basically Caucasians throughout that city. At the time of his death, when he died, again, kind of unlike a Sturgis, Mississippi, probably 50% of the funeral services was white individuals attending and making very kind remarks about my father as a very ethical business person. So my father always did his business based on what was right and fair. And he always said, if it ends up where if I don't make a dime on a job, I'm going to do the right thing and I'm going to do the fair thing. And that's kind of how I live my life. And another thing that my father said that it was pretty amazing, especially for someone in his era, my father had the philosophy that every one of his girls was going to attend college and be able to take care of themselves. Unlike some fathers who make the decision to send their girls to college to find a man, my father was always of the philosophy, you're going to go to college to be able to earn a living for yourself. That was his words, and that's what he wanted. And he said, you have no choice. You're going to do it.
Vivian, how did you get from Sturgis, Mississippi to Flint, Michigan?
Well, my father and my mother lived in Detroit, Michigan. And when my grandfather became ill and needed someone to take over the business, my father moved back to Sturgis, Mississippi to work the business. And most of my mother's family were in the Flint area. So we moved to Flint, and my oldest sister was the very first one to move after she graduated from college. And after working 1 year in Mississippi and realizing the difference in what a teacher in Mississippi was being paid versus what a teacher was being paid in Flint, Michigan, she decided she'd take the option of moving to Flint and making a difference, and especially when it came to her wages in the Flint area and being around my mother's family. And then consequently, many of us kind of just followed suit. And my mother and father's philosophy was, you know what, maybe the colleges may be a little bit better in the north, so let's see what we can do here. So it ended up where the three youngest sisters attended Mississippi State University, but the others attended schools or colleges in the north.
Let's go back to 1978.
Mm-hmm.
How was it you joined General Motors?
Well, if you're in Flint, Michigan, that's the thing to do. It was really not a lot of choices in Flint, Michigan in terms of education, in terms of where you wanted to work. So after I graduated, I decided to come to Flint, Michigan, and during the summer, I ended up working at GM as a co-op student. And I worked there and ended up going to Ferris in the fall. And each summer, I would come back and work at General Motors during the summer. And consequently, after I graduated, I ended up working full-time for the company.
We're talking to Vivian Picard. When we come back, we'll ask her about the one company she's worked for since 1978, General Motors. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Vivian Picard, president of GM Foundation, and also director of corporate relations for General Motors. You've been there since 1978. Vivian,
yes.
You are General Motors. Tell us about General Motors.
Well, General Motors is a company that obviously I really care about, and obviously I have a lot of respect for and some loyalty there as well. And I believe it's a company that has been very good to me, and I would like to think that I've been somewhat good to General Motors as a company as well. I guess I can say at this point in my life, as I look back and I look at some of the things that General Motors has done as a company when it comes to making a difference in things that are important to me, and I look at General Motors' commitment to making a difference in the community, which is important to me, in making a difference when it comes to the diversity, which is important to me. And I can take that diversity step one step farther in terms of diversity as a African-American, diversity as a female as well. But most importantly, it's a company that believes in giving back. And it's something that I was really raised to do, and starting in Sturgis, Mississippi, that you must give back. And I look at that as something kind of the DNA of General Motors, a company that's really committed to giving back and making a difference in communities literally all over the country. So that's, from that perspective, that's a very important piece for me as an employee and something that I'm very proud of. And then when I talk about our commitment to diversity and the difference that we've made as a company when it comes to diversity in the country, and this stems to really as far back as I can research in terms of GM's commitment as a company. And it was really interesting last week. The General Motors Company and the UAW received an award from the United Negro College Fund in New York, the national organization. And I was not aware that Alfred Sloan was one of the founders of the UNCF. So I continued to find more and more about this great company in terms of the company's commitment to making a difference when it comes to diversity. So that was just another added piece of information that I was not aware of. And it just made me even more proud to be a part of a company that really has a legacy of going back even further than I have been able to research in terms of its commitment to making a difference.
Talking about some of the great people that have made up and make up General Motors, tell us about Lloyd Royce and his son, Mark Royce.
Well, Mark Royce, I will never forget the day when I first took over the GM Foundation. I was aware of Mark's commitment to make a difference in the community, and the difference that he and his family really have made in this community. Mark went into one of our schools and came back to General Motors, and he said to us, you know, with literally, and this is no exaggeration, but literally with tears in his eyes, that we have to do something to make a difference with these kids. He went into the schools and did a tour of the schools and realized the failure of our high schools here in the city of Detroit. And he came back and said, we have to do something to make a difference. And again, literally with tears in his eyes. And that's when we, as a foundation, made a decision to provide a $27.1 million grant to support kind of the rebuilding or revamping of 7 high schools here in southeastern Michigan. And that obviously was an initiative that was led by Mark. And I ran into Lloyd a couple of months ago, and I said to him, you know, you should be very, very proud of your son, because I can attest to the fact that you raised a good person. I said, not only did you raise a very smart individual that's doing remarkable things in his career, but one of the things that you and your wife should be very proud of is that you raised a good person. And I saw Mark a couple of weeks later, and Mark said to me that his father actually called him that night to tell him that. So it was something that was obviously important to him, that he had raised a good person.
Speaking of diversity, Ed Wellborn.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed Wellborn, in terms of the area that he's responsible for. When you think about what he's able to touch and the decisions that he's able to make as an individual, it's remarkable. And we're so proud, again, that this is another first for General Motors. I mean, we have so many firsts as a company that we would really need all day to sit back and talk about the first that we've made as a company. But to have an Ed Wellborn, and to have him as the chief designer for General Motors, to be responsible for stamping every vehicle in terms of the design that we produce, is a remarkable, it's really remarkable to have him in charge of that. And again, to be in charge of our studios all over the country. And also to the fact that he graduated from a historically black college, Howard University. So it goes to show, and it proves, that if given the opportunity, we, of course, can obviously prevail. And I think Ed Wellborn is one who really, throughout his life, is something that he's been very interested in. And we're very fortunate that General Motors, as a company, gave him the opportunity to really showcase his skill and his skills. And under his leadership, I think we can see the results of the opportunity that he has been given. And I think everybody as a company, our leadership as a company, he's a very humble person, and he believes in really just doing his job and making a difference. And he's an individual that I think everyone within GM is very, very proud of. We have great leaders at General Motors.
We're talking to Vivian Picard. Vivian, speaking of firsts as a company, Mary Barra.
Well, you know what? I cannot say enough about Mary Barra in terms of her leadership and in terms of Mary Barra as a person. It's very amazing when you have someone with the leadership skills of a Mary Barra and be able to lead a company as large as GM in the manner that she leads and get and how she's able to get results. She has a very unique leadership style that's very humbling, but also very results oriented. She gets the job done, obviously, and people are excited about working for her. And that's the part that's really very, very special. That individuals view her, first of all, again, as someone who knows what her capabilities are. And she's not afraid to say what she doesn't know. And she knows what she knows. And the fact that she rallies individuals around her to really make sure that all of the needs of the company are met, that she has the best in all of the areas that's needed around her is remarkable. And she's not one who's concerned about whether or not someone is going to outshine her or whatever. Again, she's someone that knows what's needed, and she wants to make sure that she has the right individuals in those spots. In addition to that, Mary is one who mentors individuals. I don't care whether or not you're male, female, or whatever. She believes if there's something she can do to help you in terms of mentoring you to make a difference, she's one who's willing to do that. But her leadership style is just very humbling and very impressive to watch. And it's great when you hear people say, men, women, I don't care who it is, I want to work for Mary, and I want to work with Mary to make a difference. That's very special and very humbling.
Speaking of humbling, we're talking to Vivian Picard, who's known as the biggest heart in town. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Vivian Picard, President, General Motors Foundation. And in the last decade, the foundation has donated $350 million. Vivian, tell us about the General Motors Foundation.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we as a company, we have been a company to really strive to make a difference all over the country. And in 1976, the General Motors Foundation was formed so that we could make sure that during times that were not always great for General Motors, that we would still be able to give and make a difference. And that really came to fruition in the last few years, where in 2008 and 2009, we were still able to make some donations, and especially for the multi-year commitments. Those organizations where we had made the multi-year commitments, we were still able to uphold those commitments. And for the General Motors Foundation, we have done the research where we have chosen to focus in four areas. And it's four areas that we believe we need to focus in. They're areas that are important to our country, and really to making a difference literally in our communities all over the world. Education, we probably spend the most money in education, health and human services, the environment, and economic development. And again, the bulk of our dollars are spent in education. We did some research and realized that there was a real need for us as a country, really, to make, to have more individuals committed to attending colleges and universities and majoring in STEM. And also, we realized there was a need to really try to increase the level of individuals that are first in their families to attend college. So we started what we call the Buick Achiever Scholarship Program. And we have components of the Buick Achiever Scholarship Program where we give extra points to individuals that are first in their families to attend college. So we know a big bulk of that is the African-American and the Hispanic community. But we also know from the majority community, there are also individuals, many families, where individuals have not had the first in their families to attend college. And when we see these families and hear these stories of individuals that may not have been able to attend college or that were going to attend the community college, which would have been fine. I'm sure it probably would have worked out. But now some of these individuals are now attending Purdue. They're attending Stanford. They're attending some of the Ivy League schools because they had the skills to attend these colleges, but they did not have the funds to attend the colleges. So we are providing grants of up to $25,000 per year for these individuals to attend these colleges. And again, when you see some of the families and you hear the stories, we know that we're making a difference, not only in the lives of one family, but in the communities and really in this country, because that one person has the ability to change the trajectory of that street, of that family, and really in some cases, especially like here in our city, the whole community. So that's a major focus, the education of our youth literally all over. And of course, we have a partnership with Habitat for Humanity where we're building homes, which is another real basic need of trying to make a difference. We have the Morningside area here in Detroit where we have built a number of homes. We provided last year we provided $1.5 million grant to Habitat for Humanity. This year we are providing another $1.5 million grant to Habitat for Humanity. And $400,000 of those dollars are really right here in Detroit in terms of rebuilding those homes. In addition to providing the funds, we also are providing volunteers to go out in the community and really help to build these homes. And our employers are really excited about going out and making a difference there. But literally all over the country, we are providing grants to organizations that we believe are making a tremendous difference. And I can really not say enough about the difference that we're making with K through 12 here in southeastern Michigan with the school system. We have improved the attendance rates at these schools from hovering around 50% to now 90%, over 90%. And we know that the first thing you have to do is to get the kids to school. And we have made a difference, first of all, with getting the individuals in the schools. And all of the information that we have at this point, it shows that we're on track to really, really make a difference.
Vivian, talking about giving back, how do you explain auto dealers and the phenomenal things they do giving back to their local communities?
Well, you know, I think we can just really look here in Detroit. When we look at individuals such as a Dave Fisher, and we see the difference, the Sarah, and the difference that they're making in the community. Those are just two of the examples of individuals just right here in the community. When you see most events, I don't care what kind of campaign it is, if it's making a difference here in our community, you're going to see Suburban Collection and many of the other General Motors dealers committed and trying to make a difference. We have individuals not only here in Michigan, but literally all over the country. And I think that was showcased when we went through our tough times a few years ago and when individuals realized, you know, General Motors is really making a difference through not only General Motors Company, but also through our dealers and our suppliers. And literally, you could probably count, I'm sure every state and almost probably every other zip code or so. I'm sure those zip code numbers are pretty high as to where we have dealers or suppliers. So I think individuals literally all over the country realize that General Motors is a company. It's touching communities literally all over the world. We may not have a facility there. We may not have employees there. But, of course, suppliers and dealers are scattered literally all over. So it's something that I think we are proud of in terms of the number of jobs that we're creating, and also the abilities of those companies, those suppliers, and those dealers to give back. When you look at the little league teams literally all over, when you look at the events in the communities from the American Heart Association, the National Kidney Foundation, organizations that are really, really making a difference when it comes to the basic needs of our of individuals all over, and that includes education, providing food, just the basic needs that are being taken care of by so many organizations.
Mentoring. Vivian, on a scale of 1 to 10, you get a 20.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Talk to us about mentoring.
Well, mentoring is very important to me because so many individuals have really made a difference when it in my career, and not only in my career, but in my personal life as well. Individuals that I probably thought didn't have a lot of time to give, but they spent time talking to me, mentoring me, and telling me the way to go, if you will. So because I have had so many people that have taken some time out of their schedules to really make a difference in my life, I feel an obligation to do the same. And sometimes people just really want someone to listen to and guide them. And they, in most cases, they know what they should do, but they just need some confirmation. And individuals are somewhat always surprised because they'll say, well, this person asked me to call you and to see if you and I could do lunch or if I could come in and meet with you. And they're always surprised when I say, yes, let's get it on the schedule. I'm going to turn you over to my admin to schedule it. And I have had a couple of people to say to me, you know what, Vivian? Somebody told me that's what you would say, but I'm just surprised. And many of these individuals, I don't know. But of course, obviously, they know me. And because they have taken the time to get to know me as a person, I feel an obligation to get to know them because obviously it was something that attracted them to me. And if they feel as if I have something to offer, then I try to do what I can to really make a difference. And I have we have a formalized mentoring program at GM. And this year I had thought about taking a break from the program and not be a part of it this year, to really just take a break and come back next year. And then I received an email that at least two individuals had indicated specifically that they wanted to be mentored by me. So I sent an email back and said, you know, if somebody believes that I have something to offer, then I have no choice but to do it. So, of course, I signed up again to be a mentor in the formalized program. But I have many individuals that I may not touch bases with them on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, but they know that I'm there if they need help with anything. And I try to not only give them my personal time, if there's somebody that needs some help financially, if there's something I can do to help, I try to do it. Because again, individuals have been very generous with their time and their personal resources to help me, so I feel an obligation to give back.
The late, great John Wooden, the Wizard of Westwood, the legendary basketball coach of UCLA, said, quote, "You can't live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you." By that definition, Vivian McCard has lived a lot of perfect days. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the biggest heart in town, Vivian Picard. Vivian, you live life and you dress up as if it's a celebration each day. Why and how?
You know, when I wake up every morning, if I haven't received a call that either a friend or a family member or a colleague, that something bad has not happened to them, it's a good day. So, and before I get out of bed every morning, my prayer is always that God would order my steps for that day, and also that I will do something to make myself a better person, to really strive to be a better Vivian on a daily basis. And I guess the rest of it is, if everyone from a health perspective, as long as you're healthy, everything else kind of falls in place. So I don't get upset or depressed or feel bad about things, if you will. As long as my friends and family and colleagues are healthy, then I'm okay.
In the last segment, you talked about that you love to mentor because you've had so many mentors. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a few of those. First, Dr. Dorothy Height.
Well, Dr. Height, for any of you listening that really remember her or know her, she was a remarkable woman and one who was an advisor to every president since Roosevelt and a good friend of Mrs. Roosevelt. And also was one of the individuals, was very, very close to Dr. Martin Luther King as well. So the day back in the 90s, after my meeting and being around her for a number of times, when she picked up the phone and called and asked if I would serve on her board of directors, when I got off the phone, I was really amazed that she, first of all, would think that I would have anything to offer. So obviously, I couldn't wait to say yes to her. And then from that day forward, she and I developed a really, really close relationship where we talked almost weekly. So first of all, she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And she always pushed me and stretched me to really make a difference in terms of being a leader on her board of directors and really helping her and calling me and seeking advice and counsel from me. So my thought was that Dr. Height is calling me, asking me my opinion on anything, on something. So I don't know if it was testing me or testing my ability or if she was sincerely asking for my opinion. But she was one that she took me under her wings and always was an advisor, a counselor for me for much of what I did in my career since the time I met her. And I learned so much from her. As a person, she was one who, even at the age of 96, she still came into the office every day. She came in dressed as if she was getting ready to have a photo shoot. And of course, she was still one of those individuals who believed that ladies should obviously be ladies in the manner that they of her 1950s and 60s memory of what women were supposed to be like, how they were supposed to act, etc. And it was very, very special to watch her and to listen to her. And she, at the age of 96, 97, she was still chairing her boards, her board of directors meetings, coming in and starting those meetings at 8:00 in the morning and going until 5 and 6 o'clock in the evening and then finishing with a dinner meeting. And I always told her, Dr. Height, you know, I always told you that I wanted to be like you when I grow up, but I don't think I can keep up with you now, so I give up. But she was a remarkable woman that really taught me a lot about life and living.
Judge Damon Keith.
Well, Judge Damon Keith is like my father. And he and I, we talked to each other, and he told me, he said, Vivian, he said, nobody talks to you the way I talk to you. And I can guarantee you, nobody talks to me the way you talk to me. I guess we have this very, very special relationship where We kind of tell each other exactly what he think, what we think. And if there's something that he, if he thinks that I have done or doing something that he does not approve of, I hear from him. And I hear from him very, very quickly and in a very, very harsh way. So again, he's one that I listen to. I have a lot of respect for him. He's been a part of my life since the early 90s. And, of course, when I got married, I think I danced with him more than I danced with my husband at the wedding. And prior to the wedding, we have this joke, or all of his friends have this joke. It was like literally every day for a month before we got married, he called me every single day just to see how I was doing and make sure that I didn't need anything. It was almost because my father was deceased. He kind of took on that role of checking and being the father for me for that month.
The late, great Eleanor Josiatis.
Well, Eleanor Josiatis, very, very special woman. One, again, I look at her and she has a lot of, Mary Barry has a lot of the characteristics of Eleanor Josiatis. One who leads, she's a very strong leader in a very mild and humbling manner. So when I think about Eleanor Josiatis, I think of a Mary Barra. They get the job done in a very humble, very humbling way, and people want to follow them.
As our time winds down together tonight, Vivian, what advice to give to our young listeners?
You know, there's two pieces of advice that I always try to live by. And the very first one is to always try to do the right thing. I don't care whether it's in your personal life or work life. Always try to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, it will prevail. And the second one is that there may be individuals that are smarter than you are, but obviously there cannot be anyone to working any harder than you do, and to always be prepared. I mean, to be prepare yourself and make sure that you're the most prepared. I don't care what meeting it is, etc. There may be individuals smarter than you are, but there can never be anyone any more prepared than you are. And then lastly, be yourself. My mother always was of the philosophy to be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Vivian Picard, the Director of Corporate Relations for General Motors. What a perfect person for that job.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohm.
Believe in yourself.